D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5. The game, Willie Donick just got a spam call.
I did.
Your phone must have been listening. They'll leave a voicemail. They always do.
No, they won't.
I don't think they will. Mm-mm.
Let's go to our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Here's someone who is definitely not a spam call. It's our friend, Robbie Stanley, from Robbie and Rex Road every morning here from 6 to 9 a.m. Robbie, how are you?
Well, I'm fine. I get like 6 spam calls per day. It makes me want to throw my phone in the river. But other than that, I'm good.
Yeah.
I could picture Robbie, too, as the Ferris Bueller on the float, taking the rest of the afternoon. He's got the morning shift, you know, to get a little nap in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then maybe downtown, jump on like Ferris Bueller, start lip-syncing the Beatles there.
But can you imagine Robbie in a sweater vest? Like Ferris
Ooh.
Bueller.
Well, you have to look the part.
Robbie, I can't imagine you in a sweater vest. I'm sorry.
I don't know that I can imagine myself in a sweater vest too, although I'm willing to try it out for the bit if I need to.
Yeah. Okay. Especially if it gets you Sloan Peterson's attention, you know.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
That's right. So Robbie, the Predators are on fire, 5 consecutive wins. They won last night 6-3 against San Jose, scored 5 goals on their first 7 shots. What the hell has gotten into the local professional hockey team?
Yeah, it's been fun to watch, and it's interesting. I think there's a few things going on. I think their goaltending over the last few weeks has been really good, and I think that's driving a lot of what you're seeing. I'll tell you another thing. I mean, we can get into, you know, Forsberg and Stamkos, obviously, and the big goals that they're scoring, and Matthew Wood, the way he's playing. But I think Jonathan Marchessault, by far, is playing the best hockey he's played this year, and I know that it's been a tough year for him, and I talked to him a little bit about that after the game last night, but he's found pretty instant chemistry with Forsberg and Wood, and he looks healthy. He looks like he's playing well, and, you know, 3 assists for him last night. I mean, overall as a team, I don't think that they've been dominating by any stretch. You know, that first period last night notwithstanding, but they're getting good goaltending, and they're getting some timely goals from guys who – really don't need a whole lot of room, right? Like Philip Forsberg, Steven Stamkos, you don't have to give those guys a whole lot, and they're able to take advantage of it, and I think you're seeing that play out lately.
How surprised are you, Robbie, by how quickly it seems Matthew Wood has taken to being a top 6 center in the NHL? Since the Predators made that switch, he has 6 goals and 7 points in 10 games.
I'm pretty surprised, but, you know, I've liked his demeanor all year. And, look, he went through a stretch where, you know, the points weren't coming, and that's not uncommon for somebody that's really young and at the time obviously wasn't playing with guys that he's playing with right now. But you move him to center. He's played center a lot in his career, but once he went to college, they moved him over to the wing. But he's always talked about, you know, center is kind of the natural spot for him, and that's a spot that – when you look at the organizational depth chart, there's a big hole there. And he's talked about that, and there's an opportunity here, not just now, but in the future. And Andrew Burnett was with us last week and talked about how it kind of started as an experiment to put Matthew Wood at center because of necessity of what their roster looked like. But Burnett pointed out he's always kind of viewed him as a center. And you're talking about, you know, 6'4" guy that has good speed. I mean, he's not, you know, Connor McDavid fast or anything like that, but he's good enough speed coming up through the middle of the ice. And I think the vision and his ability to make the right play has been what stood out to me. And, you know, it hasn't been perfect. It's not like he's perfect out there every night, but he's making a lot of plays. And one thing I really like about him, and I think last night's play that he made was a really good example. There's a lot of swagger to him, a lot of confidence to him. And I really like that in a young player. He makes the move last night to kind of dangle around Kiefer Sherwood. He's got, I think, Forsberg with him on his left, and he decides, you know what, I'm taking the shot. I'm going to be the one that puts this in the net and executes the shot perfectly. I just thought it was a great play last night that really has been, I think, symbolic of how he's taken the reins here down the middle.
I know that you and Joe have discussed this topic on the morning show. But what could this potential playoff berth mean for Andrew Burnett? He has been fired multiple times by a lot of people, including myself. I fired him after 25 games last season. I'll admit it. I have been impressed by how he's been able to rally the troops. There is a major influence on this, which is the new GM and what that new GM decides to do. We saw what happened when Barry Trotz came in with John Hines. But what do you think a potential playoff berth could mean for Brunette's future in Nashville?
Yeah, I think it makes it really interesting because, I think conventional wisdom, especially in this sport, when you're talking about, you know, a new general manager coming in, and at the time when it was announced that the new general manager was going to be taking place and they were going on that search, you know, the Predators weren't in a playoff spot. So it felt like a combination of, oh, they're going to find another general manager and they're going to miss the playoffs for the second year in a row. I mean, everybody felt like that was all but guaranteed that Andrew Brunette would be out at that point. So, look, one thing that I've felt all year, and I don't know what the new general manager is going to do. I mean, if they make the playoffs, that can only help him, in my opinion. If they make the playoffs and they get beat in the first round, I don't know that it changes the equation all that much. But it's pretty clear. Like, you know, I remember when they got back from Sweden and thought, you know, if there's a time to fire a coach in terms of the schedule this year, this would make the most sense. They didn't do it at that time. And there was all this talk about, well, the players, they've quit on him, right? And they're not playing for him. And it's pretty clear that that's never happened, right? Like, he has gotten them to hang in there and believe. And now you're seeing the rewards from it. So, look, there's still things about Andrew Brunette's tenure that you don't love. Like, they've started really poorly basically every year with Andrew Brunette. And if he's going to continue to be the coach, they've got to get that figured out at some point. But clearly he's done a really good job here of riding the ship and making some adjustments along the way. And that locker room has always bought in. And I think that's pretty clear at this point.
Well, we've had the pleasure to talk to your fellow co-host, Rex. And now we get a chance to talk to you, Robbie, the best morning show in town. But looking at this team, if this team makes it to the playoffs, and there seems to be a likelihood that they will if they continue to play the way they have been playing, Robbie, if this team makes it to the playoffs, how would you sum up the season? And do you think that this team is closer to being a perennial playoff team, or should they go back to trying to strip this thing down and get younger?
Well, I'd sum it up. I think it's been a wild season. I mean, when you think about the fact that they're in a playoff spot right now, and not just in a playoff spot, but they're closing in on the first wild card spot too, which is, you know, to me, the difference in potential outcomes there. I do not like their chances at all against Colorado if that's the matchup in the first round. If it's Anaheim or, you know, whoever wins the Pacific Division, I think that's a lot better chance. So that part of it's going to be really interesting to see down the stretch here. In terms of the long-term outlook, I think that's probably the most interesting question about this team, which is, you know, how close are they really, and what does that look like? Because, you know, Matthew Wood, I think you like. We've talked about that. They do have a lot of prospects that I'm very intrigued by. But you look like right now at their big-time playmakers, and they're 35, 36, 32, 33 years old, like right somewhere in that neighborhood. So, like, when you're projecting out the next 5 years, how many more 35-goal seasons does Steven Stamkos have left in him, right? You know, does Ryan O'Reilly have another season like this one left in him? I mean, I think those are legitimate questions moving forward about those guys. So I don't know. Like, I think that's what makes the new general manager hire so interesting, because I think you can look at their prospect pool and you can feel good about it and know that there's some help coming along the way that I think you can feel good about. You also look at their current playmakers right now that are driving the bus, and all those guys are 30-plus years old. And that, to me, I think makes this pretty interesting.
Now, have you seen any sign, because this team has gotten better offensively, but, you know, as we've talked about on this show, they are lacking defensively, and what they're doing from a goalie standpoint is covering up a lot or some of what's going on defensively. Have you seen anything that will that encourages you that they are getting better as a defensive team?
Sometimes, D-Mace, I feel like they are making progress there, and then they'll have a game or two where they're giving up odd man rushes all over the place. And I think you kind of feel that sometimes from Andrew Brunette too, right? And, you know, I think even last night's game, right, you start just about as well as you can start. They're up 5-1. And I know, like, when you get up 5-1, it just totally changes the tenor and the complexion of the game. But if you watch last night's game, UC Saros had to make a couple of huge saves. I mean, they got it to 6-3 in the third period pretty quickly, San Jose did. And then the Sharks had a couple of good looks immediately right after that where Saros had to be dialed in and make some saves there. And it's not something you think about probably at the end of the night or at the end of the year because the game was 6-3 at that point. But if it's in the third period and they make it quickly 6-3 and then they turn around and convert and it's 6-4, all of a sudden you can have an interesting finish there. So there, to me, I would describe them as very inconsistent defensively. Yeah, I think they're better defensively than they were last year when it comes to the whole of their parts here. I like Nick Hague, like the size that he brings. I think Perbix does a lot of little things that are good. Like I like the way he's played for the most part, but I would describe the defense as a whole as pretty inconsistent right now.
Robbie Stanley is with us, and Robbie, the makeup of the roster now since the trade deadline, to me, has added some intrigue here, not only because they've played very well despite trading some important role players, but the fact that all four of them have been replaced by young prospects that they have been telling everybody about for the last couple of years but are still young, the Reed Schaefers and the Zach LaRues, Ryan Ufko. To me, it adds some intrigue about this section of these games that they're playing now in the last quarter of the season. Because I think for those that are saying they've got to get younger, they got younger here, right? And so these guys hopefully will be able to collectively be better in the coming years to help soften the blow when the 30-somethings start declining.
Yeah, I think that's certainly the hope, and there's no doubt, right? They've gotten younger. I think, you know, I was listening to you guys yesterday, and I think most people would probably be surprised by their average age right now, right? Because
right.
You look at their roster and it's like, well, look at all these old guys that they've got. Now, when you factor all of that in that you just talked about, and then I think the important question that builds off of that is, all right, you feel good about Matthew Wood and the role that he's going to have moving forward here. How many of these other younger guys, whether it's LaRue, whether it's Joakim Kemmel, who's kind of getting his feet wet in the league right now, like how many of these other younger guys that are right there on the precipice of either being on this team or that are in Milwaukee right now are going to be, you know, foundational pieces of their future, right? Like, and they don't all have to be first-line players, but how many of them are going to be really important parts of this? And Barry Trotz talked about this a little bit yesterday with you guys. I mean, they got a lot of contracts that they're going to have to figure out over the next couple of years with these young guys. So you got to be sure with the young guys that you're holding on to. So that part of it's going to be really interesting to me. But, like, to their credit, these young guys have come in. I think they basically, Willie, had to rebuild the penalty kill on the fly here. And so I think they've done an admirable job of doing that. And in the middle of it, you've got the longest winning streak of the season that they put together. And by the way, like around them right now, you know, LA's not playing well. Seattle's not playing well. Obviously San Jose's not playing well. And you've drawn within three of Utah. So it's kind of the perfect storm right now. If you're getting the results, you're getting all these wins, and the picture around you in the Western Conference right now is really falling your way.
Robbie, so when you guys discuss it, I think it, as we sort of wrap up the theme here, I know Barry Trotz took a lot of criticism for the comment that I think really got the traction was serving two masters, right? He got some draft picks for role players that were going to be free agents, but he kept some of the big pieces, and some were confused by that, right? You try to serve two masters and you serve none type of thing, but
right.
You have to don't you think that the way it's played out, he's been vindicated quite a bit by they're going younger. He hasn't blocked any of the prospects from playing. And, you know, these games really are meaningful. Like, you can feel it when you're watching the games right now. There's emotion, there's tension, there's playoff kind of vibes to it. And I do think that's valuable in the big picture.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, look, there's no doubt they're playing big games right now. And, you know, those big games, particularly for guys that you identify as the future part of your core, are really meaningful. And I think really accelerate growth. And look, you know, Evangelista, I'd probably move him out of that group we were talking about with, you know, Wood and all those guys. He's been around for a little bit longer. But, like, he's another guy that you feel like is going to be really important, a really important part of your future here that has to be a part of that next group here that steps in. Now, you know, you're looking at kind of the way that they're building their roster out. Like I said, all those guys are – it's good that they're getting this experience here. Over the next year or 2 years, are you going to see this experience pay off to – those guys stepping into top six roles, or guys that maybe aren't even here in Milwaukee yet, whether, you know, who knows, maybe Brady Martin makes the team out of camp next year. Are they stepping into top six roles? Because one thing that Barry Trotz has talked about the whole time is the blend, right, of playing younger guys higher in the lineup with these veteran players. That's part of what makes this Matthew Wood thing so interesting to me, is he's thriving down the middle right now, and he's got two veterans on his wing. And the fact that they have been able to make that work as seamlessly as they have to this point, I think is a really intriguing part of this. So it's been fun to watch. I'm interested to see how it goes here. And now what can they do with it? Can they hold on to a playoff spot? If they do, can they make any noise in the playoffs? I mean, I know if it's Colorado, no one's going to pick them to win a game. We've seen crazier things happen in the NHL playoffs before. If it's not Colorado in the Pacific, you know, I was talking about this today, people are probably going to go too far the other way, right, and start to undersell the Ducks and that they're not any good and all this other stuff. So that's the danger of kind of this time of year when it comes to the comparison game. But full credit to those guys. You know, you could feel it, and Willie, you were around them, and I think you would agree with this. You could kind of feel it that week of the trade deadline where they started to move some of these guys out. I mean, it was uncomfortable, and there was, I think, a letdown emotionally in there, and they have rebounded really nicely since then, and I think they deserve a lot of credit for that.
Robbie Stanley has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan and Donick. Of course, you can hear him right here on 102.5 The Game every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Robbie, great stuff as always, my friend. We'll be listening bright and early tomorrow morning.
Thanks, guys. Keep those sweater vests away from me.
Will do. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, one of the most prestigious jobs in all of sports has opened up. Could someone at Vanderbilt fill it? We'll discuss it coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.